Let's all turn our Bibles to Book of Psalm. We will read three chapters before we commit a sermon to the Lord. Chapter 75, from verse 1. We will read the three small chapters, but with powerful verses. Amen. Verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. Let's all read together. Amen. For that thy name is near thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. Unto the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle, and his dwelling place in Zion. There break he the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword and the battle. Selah. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountain of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in the sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven, and earth feared and was still, when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Selah. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. Woe, and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that round about him presence to unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old and the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Had God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that dost wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Salah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, and the sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world, and the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great wonders, waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hands of Moses and Aaron. Blessed be your holy name. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our great God of heaven, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name, Lord, who dwells in unapproachable light. Great is thy faithfulness, and there is none can measure thy greatness. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. For God is light, in him there is no darkness. For God is holy, you call all of us to be holy. And Lord, here we are, to be filled by your Holy Spirit, to be filled by your holy faith, to be filled by your goodness, to understand thy purpose in our life. Lord, may you bless us and accept our sacrifices as we offer our life as a living sacrifice in thy altar. Lord, may you bless us to allow the Spirit to examine our hearts, to allow the Lord to work in us, to work around us, for our Father in heaven, watching over all of us. Lord, we pray, let this day be another beautiful day, that we live a life worthy of thy calling. Lord, we pray for the sermon. We pray for the words of life to come to life in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be washed thoroughly in the water of life. Help us, Lord, to go in thy grace along with the sweet river to reach the places that you want us to reach, to climb the mountains that you want us to climb. Bless us, Lord, to go higher and higher, but remain as a child in obedience and in trust and in humble, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of God. Thank you, Lord, for the family of God. We surrender the words of life, for you are the word and you are the life. Help us, Lord. Bless us to manifest the part of the word that you have put in all our life. We surrender our life unto thy hands. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, our Master, the Holy One of Israel, the King of Israel, the Mighty One of Israel, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Life, the Alpha and Omega, Jesus Christ, the name before the heaven and earth trembles, the name that is the only name that is given for salvation, the name before every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and Lord, we confess from the bottom of our heart, you are our Lord, you are our Master, you are our Savior, you are our everything. Blessed be your holy name. Fill us, Lord, and fill the house, and fill our hearts. May you bless us to witness thy preeminence in the midst of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because if I try to greet you with anything else, it doesn't go well. It's not something that can stand forever, that can last forever. Everything and anything that is done in anyone's name is vanity. Amen. Whoever it is, there is only one name. There is only one mighty name that is given for our salvation, and he is our only Savior. Let there be no other name. When we pray, when we worship, when we praise, when we meditate, when we surrender, when we listen, when we receive, there shall be only one name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for today. We bless the Lord for the worship. We bless the Lord for the trials, the storms, the sickness, the pain that we are all going through, but still able to stand and sing and worship and trust the Lord who created me will see me through. And for that reason, that storm, that sickness, that weariness, that failure, that trouble that brings you down, you can say to the face, you are a failure. You cannot stand against me. You cannot control me forever. Until the Lord allowed you to have dominion over me, you can have your power of darkness. You can have your time. But I will endure. I will stand. The storm cannot stand. The storm cannot breathe, but we can breathe. The sickness cannot praise, but we can praise. The diseases cannot stand and sing, but we can do. If you look very deeply, all those things that trouble us, it has no life. It is nothing but death. Your work, your problems, financial struggles, health struggles, loved ones are tormenting you, betraying you, everything that is bringing you down, just close your eyes and see, you will see death. You will see death everywhere. Death wages war against life. If it does not wage war against life, then we are walking dead. So it is well. It is okay. It is perfectly fine that although we worship the King of Kings, but still we are treated like a captive slave in this world. It is well. It is a good sign that there is a true life in you, and for that reason, death is jealous of you and trying to throw all the tantrums, making so much noise to distract you. But our eyes set upon the brazen serpent, not the viper. Not anything that the Lord hates. Weariness, He hates. Worriness, He hates. Confusion, He hates. So, I was meditating early this morning. Whatever tries to bring you down, bring me down, whatever tries to delay in performing the commandments of the Lord, if you just write it down, you will see that thing is in the checklist of what God hates. Whatever the Lord hates, it will try to make you to make love with it. Do you hear me? Spiritual harlotry. Spiritual harlotry doesn't need a person. Doesn't need anyone to go anywhere. I can just sit here, somewhere in the corner. I can soak myself in thoughts. Soak myself in weariness. Soak myself in hatred, anger, pride, ego. Then that particular thing that the Lord hates, I have spiritual intercourse with that thing. And that thing will yield a baby, a fruit in my action. And that action, the Lord would say, no choice. I will strike that child. But if we say, Lord, strike me, let the child live. Remember, what could be the fruit? What could be the child of us having intimate relationship with the things of the world, things of the darkness? That child itself is death. That fruit itself is death. The consequence of our thoughts, the actions are nothing but wickedness. So if we commune with Christ, we will yield, we will bring forth blessedness. But if we commune with anything else that the Lord hates, we will bring forth wickedness. So by God's grace, we have been walking with the Lord humbly. The reason why we all walk, because the grace is always moving. Amen? We go with the grace. As we breathe, the Lord blessed us to experience His grace. Today I breathe, you breathe, which means there is still some work left in you. Not in the one who is sitting next to you on the left or on the right. In you. If you breathe, it means there is some work left in you. As simple as that. But most of the time, the human mind will tell you, there are a lot of works left in the world. Because of that, the Lord keeps me alive. Because I need to be a lighthouse to shine the light, to save the world, to save my loved ones, to save my family, to save my relatives, to save my church. Because the flesh will try to paint a picture. Hey, you look like a savior, you know. You look like a light. You're so good. You're so powerful. People, they love you. That is nothing but wickedness. Because I just said, if there is any other name, when you look up to the Lord, when you seek the heavenly kingdom, if there is any other name come in between, oftentimes we say, no, there is no other name. But if you close your eyes, you will see your name somewhere hanging, right in between. Right in between. That old man should never discomfort. When we follow the ark, the old man must be buried somewhere. But most of the times he will run. He will say, I'm here. Remember your name. Remember your might. Remember your power. Remember how good you are. Why you are so different? That man, that beast, that pestilence, that sword that famine should never come as part of the judgments of the Lord in our life. We are the biggest threat for our life. Amen. So if the Lord says, Lord, who put His word in us, who granted His grace to all of us, that we obtained it to serve Him, accept the truth that there is some work left deep in you, and that work is nothing but the complete manifestation of the part of the word that is living inside you. So the Lord is manifesting what He had purposed in your life, and you are just going along with the sweet river and see the garden, see the mountain, see the desert, see the wilderness. The river goes anywhere it wants. But along the way, our life is becoming complete. And that completion is your perfection. That completion is my perfection. It's our perfection. And during this process of perfection, the Lord uses you, the Lord uses His congregation to edify, to encourage, to influence one another in the way of life or in the way of death. We can do both. So by God's grace, we started on why David was called Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Then after a few chapters, David spoke to all of us by his life, Thou art the woman. Thou art the woman. We are all the woman. Now, when Jesus Christ, our Savior, He was betrayed by someone whom He loved. Whenever the Lord says, I love you, He loves you in truth. He loves you with all He has for you. There is no incompletion. There is no imperfection. There is nothing missing. When the Lord loves you, He loves you with all His goodness. He loves you with all His everything. Because He is all about fullness. Amen. But we, our eyes, our ears, our heart is always looking for some gaps. Looking for some gaps where we can go and sit and start polluting our mind with negativity. Polluting our mind with, I'm not satisfied with this. Some sort of incomplete hunger in your stomach. Incomplete thirst in your throat. But what we seek to be fed, to be drunk, is something God cannot feed you. Something God cannot bring you the water. So that is where we are meditating on how the book of Ezekiel unfolds the beautiful bridge between book of Isaiah and 2 Samuel all the way to the Gospel of John. Because our Savior, when He was crucified on the cross, what was written on the cross? What was written? Stick the word. What was written on the cross? The King of the Jews. It was written by Pilate, who knew that He was righteous, who washed His hands from this thing, this curse, this wrath of men, which is going to jump on the Prince of Life to kill Him. He washed Himself and His wife and His family from it. He decided to write that word on that cross. But it was also used as a mockery by those who hated Christ. Amen? And last few weeks we saw how David became the king of Israel. Two houses united as one. House of Benjamin, which is called House of Saul, and House of Judah. These two divided houses became one. So he became the king of Israel, king of Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ was called Son of David. So in order for the Lord to earn the earthly relationship back all the way back to Judah, for Him to be called the Lion of Judah, the King of Jews, that is a beautiful spiritual prefiguration, lessons that we are eating and drinking from the life of David. From the life of David. He is called the Prince of Judah forever. And not just that, He is also called the Shepherd of Judah forever. Let's turn our scriptures, chapter 34, book of Ezekiel. It starts from here. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 23. Verse 23. Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 23. And I will set up one shepherd, not two, not three. One shepherd, over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. He was introduced as a shepherd. Now he says he's a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make them a covenant of peace, and will cast the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness. They won't dwell safely in the palace. If they do so, they will put their trust on the walls, they will put their trust in the armies, they will put their trust on whatever the Lord has allowed them to build. But rather, the Lord says, they will feel safe in the wilderness, in the plain, where they can see nothing but Him alone. There is nothing, no Tower of Babel, no city of Jericho, no Sodom and Gomorrah, no mighty walls of Jerusalem, no mighty palace of what David and Solomon built, but wilderness, yet they will feel safe. But there is only one strong tower. Amen. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. He says, I will make them a blessing. I will make them a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. So there is a season of showering. There is a season of suffering. Amen? But the season of suffering can never last forever, because the Lord never takes pleasure in the suffering of his children. If the Lord allows a season of suffering, it is for us to appreciate how important it is, the joy of the Lord. How important it is to receive the peace of God. This quietness will teach you about quietness. Blessedness will teach you about wickedness. Light will teach you against darkness. So there is a reason the Lord allows to experience all of this, so that we can differentiate what is fire, what is flame, what is light, and what is darkness. Now, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit. So from now on, our journey will be focusing on her, woman, wife, concubine, bride, virgin. Because it's all about her, her, her. H-E-R. Eve was made for Adam. And God put Adam into a deep sleep to do what he will do, to make Adam to feel that she is part of you. She is not another woman. She is yours, and you two are one. Two shall be one flesh. Now, that two shall be one flesh, they can have spiritual differences, and they can be two different spirits. One yielding, leaning, embracing the Spirit of the Lord, and one can just live a life with whatever is given to him or her. Now the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. Now the tree is compared to a woman, then the next verse comparing the earth as a woman as well. The earth shall yield her increase. If I plant trees throughout the earth becomes my land, it becomes my vineyard. And if every single tree yielded fruit, then I can say, this land gave me increase. So there is something good in this land. Because the trees are able to eat, drink, and suck all the nutrients, and be able to show the beautiful flowers, green leaves, and fruits for the trees to be a service to those who dwell under the tree. Let's say you are an orange tree. You are an apple tree. And you see beautiful apple fruits. You don't have the hands, you don't have the mouth to pluck the fruit and eat, because you are a tree. That fruit is not for you. That green leaf is not for you. It is a sign for you to see the work of God in your life and remain rooted, stand firm, and know that He is God. Amen? But the leaves and the fruits are for those whom the Lord would send to dwell under the shade of the tree. When the sun is very hot, people will run for shelter. So the comforter, he comforts the children through his vessels. He comforts the children through his work. He do whatever he wants. But that tree can never eat its own fruit by itself. That water pot of stone can only be filled with water. But when the Lord draws the wine out, that water pot of stone cannot tell the Lord, it is my wine, I will drink it. Don't give it to anyone. Inside it is nothing but water. But when the Lord draws out, it becomes wine. And that wine is for the Lord. Whether you eat or drink, we do it for the glory of the Lord. So, this is extremely important when we consider ourselves as a bride. See, different stages of a woman. Born as a child, grown as a girl, then virgin, ready, become the bride of the groom. To be able to say, I am of age, I can speak for myself. That is the state of being called as the bride. I can speak for myself. The Lord dealt with me. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord revealed himself to me. I know I am the part of him. I can feel the intimacy. So I can say, I am waiting for my groom to come and marry me. So the day when a vessel can speak for itself is the day that vessel is of age to be a bride. Then we continue to be clothed with the word, the spirit. For the Lord to come and see that there is no blemishness, we are able to preserve the soul, the spirit and the body blameless by the Holy Ghost because we are sealed and we say, I am ready for the marriage of the Lamb. But in the Old Testament, we see different roles and responsibilities and flavors of how the Lord sees the word woman. Wife of a husband, concubine of a king, virgin, a daughter who is still submitted to the authority of the father, waiting for a groom and come and take over and receive the authority from the father to the husband. Amen? Once the daughter is married, the authority goes all back to the husband. So husband, man, wife, daughter, father, queen and king, princess. Now, in all of this, whatever we studied in the book of Ezekiel chapter 18 concerning how the Lord deals father and son, father righteousness, son's righteousness, father's wickedness, son's righteousness, father's wickedness, son's wickedness, he showed us different combinations to tell us there is no way you can escape from what I spoke. So father's son, mother's daughter. We just read the verse talking about a tree that yields fruit. Then talking about the earth that tells us my land yields increase to the one who planted. Amen? So mother's daughter. What do you mean by mother's daughter? Always the children are identified back to the father. That is because of the genealogy and the head of the house is always a father. Amen? But if you remember the life of Prophet Samuel, the moment you think about the parents, you will think about the name of the mother, Hannah. Amen? How many of you remember the name of Samuel's father? So, if you think about Solomon, you remember David. You remember Bathsheba. If you think about Isaac, you remember Abraham. Then you remember Sarah. So, there is a role. There is a role. There is a manifestation. There is a fulfillment of God's promises in the lives of the woman that we read in the book of Old Testament, starting from Eve. She was created for Adam, but she fell into the deceiving trap of the serpent. And both of them, they produced a fruit, Cain. And that fruit became a murderer. But before the murder, he was jealous. He was wroth. So jealousy was there. Anger was there. Wrath was there. He hated his brother in his heart. Then he killed him. It is nothing but a fulfillment. That's all. That tree will yield its fruit, life or death. Now, I want you all to focus very clearly here. Cain and Abel, they shared the same mother, not the father. Do you hear me? Cain and Abel, they shared their mother, not the father. They had two different fathers. But Absalom and Amnon, they shared the father, but they shared two different mothers. They were not born of same mother, right? Even Tamar, she is not the blood sister of Amnon.
She's a sister of Absalom. She's a half-sister to Amnon. And he forced himself against his half-sister. Now, in the scripture, whenever we think of David, we always, sir, I'm so blessed by the love of David for Bathsheba. How many wives David had? How many wives David had? How many children David had? Let's turn our Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 3. 1 Chronicles chapter 3. From verse 1 to 9.
Now these were the sons of David who were born to him in Hebron. The firstborn was Amnon by Amniomah, the Jezreelitess. The second, Daniel, by Abigail, the Carmelitess. The third, Absalom, the son of Makkah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Sethahiah, by Abital. The sixth, Ithream, by his wife, Agla. These six were born to him in Hebron. There he reigned 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. And these were born to him in Jerusalem: Shemaiah, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon, four by Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. Also, there were Ibha, Elishama, Eli Pelet, Noga, Nephgat, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eli Pelet, nine in all. These were all the sons of David, besides the sons of the concubine and Tamar, their sister.
Amen. Thank you, brother. So 1 Chronicles chapter 3 introduces the wives and children and the concubines of David. So now we are going to go on a journey to understand the pattern, to study the sequence of how the heart of David exposed, pampered, chastened, healed, strengthened, and filled by the Spirit of God throughout the journey as a husband. So now look at this. There are so many roles David plays. But when he plays the role as the husband, there can be only one who can come to claim the promise. Amen? Wife. Correct? He was a king to the concubines, but he was a husband to the wife. There is a difference between concubine and wife. Correct? That is very important. So these wives, they bring him forth children, sons and daughters. Now, he is the father to the sons and also his daughter Tamar. So, I will just write the name Tamar explicitly here for a reason. And he was also a servant to those who were above him before he became the king of Israel. Correct? Because he was a servant. He was also a shepherd. So I read the word shepherd under the roof of leader. He was a shepherd because he needed to lead the flock before the Lord called him to lead the kingdom. So now we are focusing on this particular relationship where David, who plays so many roles, what happened to him as a husband when he loved his wives and they yield the fruit, which is his children. Every single woman that you read in the list of David's wives, they bring forth a children, except one, the very first one, Michal. True? Let's turn our Bibles to study the sequence of the wives of David, for there is a reason why we go here, and the Lord will lead us. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. I will read. Chapter 18. We will read from verse 28. Yes. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Verse 20. I will read. Let's see what happens when the daughter of Saul heard about David. Verse 20. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the king pleased him. Verse 18 says, Michal, the daughter of Saul, loved David. 2 Samuel introduces Michal in a different way, that she despised David. But in the deen, do you know that she became the wife of another man? Because Saul was angry. When he heard that Michal still loves David, when Saul started hating David. So that David, who was pleased in this, and King Saul, who was pleased in this, and Michal, who loved David, she was also very pleased in this, as of 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 20. Now we read verse 27. Verse 27, therefore David arose and went, and he and his men, and slew the Philistines, 200 men, and David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in the full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. To who? To David. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. She was keep on repeated as Michal, Saul's daughter. Michal, Saul's daughter. Why? Son honoreth the father. Amen? As of these two verses, Saul knows that Lord with David, he can see. As long as Saul can see, he would never derail from the path of righteousness. He can see. He can see that Lord is with David mightily, so he loves David. And daughter of Saul, Michal, she saw David, and she loves him, and she wants to be his wife. Amen? This is good. Now let's read chapter 19, verse 1 to 2. Chapter 19, verse 1. Verse 11 to 12. Next chapter, 11 to 12. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. Michal, David's wife, blessed be the name of the Lord. What happened? I just read Michal, Saul's daughter, Michal, Saul's daughter. But now Michal is labeled as Michal, David's wife. Why? She did something. She did something by which she earned her name, David's wife, not Saul's daughter. What she did, let's read. Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. Whom she is speaking? To whom she is speaking? Verse 12. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. The wife who loves the husband, she let the husband escape from his father who is filled with wrath, who has become blinded, cannot see. She knows her earthly father is going to kill her husband, David. She is taking the risk. We always remember Jonathan, who took all the risk for the life of David. But Michal was no short of anything. She took the risk of going against her father to protect her husband. Amen? Up to now, it's okay. She has also earned her name. Michal, David's wife. Praise the Lord. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. So she did something and made a covering to escape the husband by hiding him in something where he was not there. Where he was not there. When I was reading this, I remember Mary Magdalene went and looked for Jesus in the tomb. She was so agitated. Where is Jesus? Where is the body of Christ? She could not see him. She really wanted to take his body and anoint his body with the oil that she has been keeping for him so long. But he is not there. He is not there. Resurrected. She was with a moment of blindness, in the name of serving him with all the love that she has for him. She forgot the power of resurrection, what he spoke when she was walking with him. And she was searching for him. She was not there. He descended and he ascended. The resurrection makes all of us to tell us, I can only see my husband man, my master, my groom in spirit. I can't see him in anything else. I cannot see him with eyes of flesh. He is not there. Wherever I am searching is nothing but the tomb that people bury him. But he is not there.
resurrected. Empty tomb. We are not those who seek the Lord in the empty tomb. We seek the Lord here in the tabernacle. So now, Michal, beautiful, first wife, she loves him truly. She went against her father and she did everything to preserve her husband. Why? Up to this verse, you can see two shall be one flesh. One leg or one hand has some strength to carry the other hand. Husband, wife, they can never go separated. I was telling some of my friends many years ago, when a husband and wife prays together, the Lord would see one praying to him. One, not two. Amen? The scripture says two shall be one. So there is one praying to him in one spirit, in one flesh, because they are one. They are not two. Now, Michal preserving her husband, they are one. This Michal is what the Michal we read in 2 Samuel when the ark of the Lord enters, when David starts dancing with all his might. When he danced with all his power, all his might, but not because of that, but because of the Spirit, he forgot he is a king, but is nothing but a son to the Lord and a prophet to the Lord. He went into spiritual realm. He left all the king's clothing. And when Michal saw, you are not a king. I love the King David. I love the warrior David. I love the soldier David. I love the strength and might that was in you. She could not see him in spirit. And she despised him. That is the Michal we read. And she became barren. Amen? She became barren. Now, let's read chapter 25, verse 36 to 44. We are going on a journey with David. What are the women that he met? And why he married them? What happened to them? Because it is not the number of wives we see. I want all of us to remember this. All the women that you see, we will put all of them in one single line. And we make them into one single wife to David. We should. Only then we can see what the Lord did in the life of David. I want all of us to remember, from now on, every single name that I read in the name of David's wife, we put all the name as the attributes of one single wife. And see what is the fruit, what is the woman that yielded as a consequence of being the wife of David. Every woman in the life of David. Amen? Read chapter 25, verse 36. Chapter 25, 1 Samuel. Verse 36 to 44.
Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was, holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore, she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. And it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and it became like a stone. Then it happened, after about 10 days, that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal in his own head." And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, "David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife." Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, "Here is your maid servant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." So Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by 5 of her maidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and so both of them were his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Lahish, who was from Galim.
Amen. What is the last verse? Saul was very angry for what his daughter did to him. He took it as a betrayal. But you know what Saul did? We often focus on how King Saul fell from not inquiring the Lord, forgot what the Lord told him, this and that. But do you know what one of the biggest mistakes Saul did? To took the authority from the husband David, from his wife Michal, The moment Michal was married to David, King Saul has no authority over his daughter. It is done. But still, he overruled the authority of husband David and took the life of his daughter Michal and let her marry to another man. Right? Now, I want us to remember this. On one side, Michal is standing with her husband. On the other side, Bathsheba is standing with her husband. And this time, Uriah was called the righteous man. Amen? Then, David made peace with his servant Abner. I call him a servant to David. You know why? Because although he is from the house of Ishbosheth, he is a servant to Ishbosheth, but he had a confrontation with Ishbosheth over the concubine of Saul. So he left his truce, his peace from King Ishbosheth, and he made peace with whom? King David. When a man makes peace with the king, that man is a servant to the king. Amen? So Abner is a servant to King David. See, these are the roles that we are focusing. Father David, husband David, servant David, King David, leader David. There is only one name that we see when we see David as a servant. Saul. King Saul. Because Absalom can never become the king of David. Never. He's a son. Son honored the father. Son obeyed the father. There is none can rule over David. But the Lord allowed David to learn patience when he was under the kingship of King Saul. Now, let's see this. Servant of David, Joab and Abner. Abner made peace with the king, and he is the bridge who was able to bring back Michal back to who? Back to David. So, in the list of wives, we focus on two. One, Michal, and one, Bathsheba. David took his wife Bathsheba. The one who helped him was Joab. Joab killed Uriah, correct? My brethren, this is very important. Joab, he killed Uriah. Joab, he killed Uriah. And the name of the husband of Michal's second husband is Palti, the son of Laish, Palti. But Abner, you know what he did? Remember, what he did? What he did? Joab killed Uriah. Abner spoke to Uriah, spoke to Palti. Correct? Then Abner took Michal, David's wife, to be sent to him back as part of the covenant. The husband of Michal, he was crying and following. And Abner told him, go back. When Abner told him, go back, the husband returned. Joab, he killed Uriah because David wanted to kill Uriah. And he was badly influenced, counseled, with such a servant with cruelty, the instruments of cruelty in his mind, in his heart. He just helped David to execute the judgment on a righteous man. Always remember this. The judgment upon a righteous man can only be done by the righteous God. Amen? When King David was righteous, he was allowed to judge. When King David judged a righteous man, he became the man of wickedness. And that wickedness, he earned it through Bathsheba. Correct? Not through Michal. 1 Samuel chapter 18 says, Michal loved David. The wife of David, Michal, she helped David. But when she despised, she was put back to the default state. She was thrown back to the default pit of being Michal, Saul's daughter. She lost the title of being the wife of David. Now look at this. Husband love his wife, wife submit to husband. Amen? That is the kingdom of God. Wife submit to husband. Husband loves wife. And this submission is the beauty of the wife. It's nothing about suppression or dominion. It's the beauty of the Lord's creation. Because the word wife we see here is not a woman or female. It's you, me, and all of us. Amen? all of us. So, let's read chapter 27, verse 3. I will read 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 3. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household. And even David with his two wives, Ahinoam, Jezreelite, and Abigail, the Carmelite, the Nabal's wife. And we know how Abigail became the wife of David. She tried to save her husband Nabal, but he could not withhold from his wickedness. And he was killed, he died. And David took her as his wife. It's so beautiful. David married Michal, and Michal was given to Phalti. And David took back Michal again. But yet, she became barren. Bathsheba was given to Uriah, but Uriah was killed. David took Bathsheba, and before she became his wife, he had lust, intercourse with her, and there was a child, and that child was killed by God, not by anyone. Who killed God? No one. But who killed God's children? Do you hear me? When he says, God is in me, the Lord who is living forever, the Spirit of the Lord resting upon me, he is in me. He lives forever. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. When the Spirit of the Lord resting in me, you can die in flesh, but there is no one can kill you because you embrace God. God is in you. God is with you. So David, he killed Uriah, who is labeled as a righteous, loyal, sincere, a beautiful soul. When you do that, he waged war against God. Do you hear me? Whenever anyone who wage war against a righteous man, a righteous servant, they wage war against God. And that is the reason God cursed David. Because he dropped his righteousness. He dropped his garment of righteousness. He dropped. Now, among the sons of David, we only remember two sons very vividly. Solomon and Nathan. Because Matthew, Luke, they introduce us how Jesus is identified all the way back to King David. These are the two names, Solomon and Nathan. They are from the same mother and they are from the same father. Correct? Cain and Abel shared the mother, not the father. Amnon and Absalom, these three sons, focus here. Absalom rebelled against father. Amnon, he forced himself against Tamar. He was killed by Absalom. Adonijah, he also rebelled against the father. He was also killed. But who killed Adonijah? Solomon. Who removed all those who rebelled against King David? Solomon. The son of David, Solomon, in the earthly generation, removed, cleansed, destroyed all the chaos and confusion to establish the kingdom of David in the earth, in the earthly generation. But what the Son of God will do? What the Son of Man will do? What the Son of David will do? When Jesus said, do you think that I came just to make peace? I came to divide. What? God told David, I will bring the two kingdoms into one. I will bring the two houses into one. But Jesus said, I came to divide. Jesus said, I came to divide. Why? House of Saul, house of Benjamin, they became a very important house against the house of Judah. What Jacob spoke against house of Benjamin. Let's turn Genesis 49. Genesis chapter 49. One single verse, Jacob defines the role of house of Benjamin. Joseph loved Benjamin so much, he hugged him and cried him. Why? Because they are from the same mother, Rachel. Correct? Half brother, half sister, children who share the mother, children who share the father. You will see a great, great difference in scripture. Chapter 49, verse 27. Jacob is speaking. The father, Jacob is speaking. Benjamin shall ravin as a wolf. In the morning, he shall devour the prey. And at night, he shall divide the spoil. One single verse, that's all. Yes, that's all. Because after 28, he finished. He said, and all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it. When we read the word, this is it, it is done. This is it. That their father spake unto them, that is it, that is done. When the father spoke, the lives of the son, whatever the father spoke, done, complete. and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. Irrespective of saying all of this, Reuben and Sable as water, Simeon and Levi, instruments of cruelty, irrespective of saying all of this, he covered everything back to the love. He blessed all of them. He blessed all of them. But this is what he spoke concerning Benjamin. We should never forget that Saul is from the family of Benjamin. He's a Benjamite. Amen? Now you see here. These three sons, he was hanging in the midst of the oak tree, killed by Joab. Abnon was killed by Absalom. Adonijah was ordered to be killed by Solomon. And Michal, she could not yield any fruit to David. Until the death of her life, she remained barren. She was a wife of David, the king. She was given to Falti because she loved David. She stood true to David. So the Lord allowed Michal, the obedient, sincere, loving wife, to endure, to go through a fall. And in that fall, she became a wife of someone, Falti. Right? And when David wanted to redeem his wife, he used a covenant through Abner who made peace. He called Michal, come back. I'm here. Your husband is here. Forget about Falti. Come here. I earned you with 100 foreskins of Philistines. I went for battle. I had scars for you. I put my life in the risk for you. I love you. Come. He called her again. Second chance. Why? She earned the second chance because she was loyal, truthful to her husband. But she dropped it the moment David uncovered him as the child of God, as the prophet of God, as the son of God. She would have never despised him if David remained as a mighty, strong, powerful king. So, she was barren, for she loved the clothing of David, not the David who is barefooted, who is naked. Do you hear me? But it was too late to realize. It was too late to realize. The scripture said, she was barren until her death. That's it. Was she the only one? What happened to the concubines? Let's continue. 2 Samuel chapter 15 verse 16. When Absalom rebelled against David, David was broken, weeping, crying. He was walking in the brook of Kidron in barefoot, not with any sandals. He must endure the pain of the thorns, of the sharp stones, of the heat of the land, not as a king, but as a normal, simple, powerless man. King walked in barefoot. Jesus Christ walked on the cross for you and me in Calvary, barefoot. He was wounded. He was enduring the pain and suffering with whatever the best he can. When they gave him the water, the vinegar, even though they tried to mock him or they tried to give him the water to suppress the pain, he said, no. I want to feel the pain as it is. Amen? He was barefooted. Don't just look at the sandal at the feet. And the Lord says, your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Your feet represents your walk, your journey, where you start, where you go, where you start, where you end, where, what you leave, what is the leftover of your presence. When you go to a place, do you leave peace? Do you leave joy? Now, this David, what he did, verse 16, and the king went forth and all his household after him. This is very, very important. When the king went forth, all his household went after him. What happened to the concubines? Why all household went after the king? But still, the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. 10 women, concubines, to keep the house. If the king is leaving with all the people, all the household, what's the point of house? Unless he believes, he knows, he will come back. He will return. So he told the concubines, keep the house. If I leave, something shameful, harmful could happen to them. But still king left the concubines. He left. Amen? He left 10 concubines. In Old Testament, you read from concubines. In New Testament, I learned from the virgins. The foolish virgins, the wise virgins. It's not the comparison. It's an inspiration. Blessed inspiration. Now these 10 concubines were left by the king to keep the house. Amen? Now let's see what happened to them. Chapter 16 verse 20 and 23. chapter 16, verse 20 and 23. And then said Absalom to Ahithophel, the evil counselor. For Amnon, it was Jonadab who told Amnon, oh, do you want to force yourself against your half-sister? It's not wrong. It's not wrong. You are a prince. You are a son of a king. You don't understand your power. The Lord revealed your truth, my brother, my sister. You can do whatever you want. You don't understand your power. Be careful. Do not listen to any Jonadab in your life. Flattery words, deceiving words. He literally dragged Amnon into the pit. If Jonadab, being the niece, Amnon is his niece, amen? He is Shimei's son, Jonadab. Instead of rebuking him, scolding him and warning him, Jonadab said, just deceive your father. Let him hand over his daughter over to you. Look at the level of iniquity. Look at the level of such an evil thought. Father to hand over his daughter to be put into shame by his son. And these two children, they were not from the same mother. Correct? Now, this Ahithophel, who is the evil counselor to Absalom, he said, he's asking Ahithophel, can you give me some counsel? And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear thou art abode of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. And Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. How cruel! How cruel! Visualize this event. No matter whatever you imagine, it is cruel. Shameful. Eyes cannot see. But what really happened? If David took all the 10 concubines with him, there would be no concubines for Absalom to do such thing. There would be no concubines for Ahithophel to give such a counsel. Those 10 concubines, nothing but a trap left over for Ahithophel and Absalom to take the bait for them to be filled with their own iniquity, correct? But these concubines, they did nothing wrong. They just obeyed the word of the king and they stayed in the house to keep the house. They know something harm is going to happen to them. The Absalom who wants to kill David, is he going to live his concubines in a peaceful life? No. He is going to torment them, persecute them, rape them, do whatever he wants upon them. But they must endure. They must receive whatever is going to upon their body, the flesh. Now you see. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired the oracle of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a mockery. Do you see that? You know what the Lord says? The counsel of the prophet, counsel of his counselor, counsel of the king, it was so sweet, it looked like so powerful, so righteous, it looked like that, as if. When the Lord says as if, it's a mockery. As if I speak to them. As if I reveal myself to them. As if I am in them. As if I spoke to them. They spoke something when I have not spoken. Amen? As if they inquired at the oracle of God. There is only prophet of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Now you see, not just with Absalom, he did the same thing to the father also. All the instruments of cruelty of Joab, not just with this father David, but also with son Absalom, also with son Amnon, also with righteous man Uriah. It continued generations. Now, chapter 20, verse 3. Same, 2 Samuel, chapter 20, verse 3. We will just complete until the consequence of such fruit is seen. Chapter 20, verse 3. So now David returns. What happened between chapter 16 and chapter 20? Just four chapters. David left two wise counselors in the presence of King Absalom, so-called king, so that whenever the evil counselor take over Absalom, these wise counselors can confound him. And he also had one more man called Shimei, who was accusing, persecuting, insulting, cursing David wherever he went. Joab was so angry. He said, David, king, let me go and kill this guy. Then David said, oh, sons of Zeruiah, what I have to do with you? Why are you always following me? You instruments of cruelty. He is insulting me. Let me embrace it. He is cursing me, persecuting me. I'm not saying anything. The Lord will defend me. On Calvary, when Jesus was crossing, he was walking, all the people were cursing him, insulting him, spitting on him. That's what he said. If all the disciples come and tell Jesus, curse them, Jesus, curse them, destroy them. Let us give us the power of spirit. You will speak the word and the fire will come and devour them. It is a work against God. We can never do God a service against his will. As much as it may look like God's service, the Lord would say, it is the counsel of Ahithophel, not the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We have to be very careful. So David comes back. What happened to his concubines? 16, he left 10. Those who were touched by him. When the king has his concubines, no one can commune with them. No one can go intimate with them because the concubine of the king. That is why King Ishbosheth, he was so furious when Abner went into the concubine of who? King Saul. Amen? Concubine of Saul broke the life of Abner. Concubine of David broke the life of Absalom. Do you hear me? Now David returns. He comes back to the house. Those 10 concubines were not killed. Verse 3. And David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house. Now the question is, did they keep the house? Did they keep the house? Yes, they kept the house. Because David came, and there was house, and there was a concubines. Whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward, and fed them, but went not in unto them. Because they were polluted, touched, insulted, put into shame. When Absalom went into them, in the roof, the tent that was put on the roof, so that the whole Israel can see what's happening. Like how the Lord blessed all of us to learn from Chupa, the secret chamber, where the Lord will do some work in us. The intimate relationship that we have with God, that is changing from glory to glory. But Absalom did something exactly the opposite. To insult those 10 concubines in his own flesh with the counsel of evil. Because they were touched by his son, he fed them, kept them alive, but he did not go into them. So they were shut up unto the day of their death, living in widowhood. What? Michal, the wife of David, was shut in a way that she would live her life in barren, not in widowhood, because David cannot die. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? The Lord told David, you are a prince forever, shepherd forever. Son of David cannot die. So David told them, I will keep you, I will feed you, I will shut you. No one can escape. You are a prisoner of mine. But I will not go into you because you were put into shame by another flesh. My son, he committed adultery against you. So they were kept. Unto the day of their death, living in widowhood, as if they are like widowed. They had no man, no husband. What are the concubines? Now, let's read Joel chapter 2, verse 16.
Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber, and the bride from her dressing room.
Psalm chapter 19, verse 4 to 5.
Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. His rising is from one end of the heaven and his circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from his feet.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Many wives, many children, many concubines, many battles, a lot of fall and rise events in the life of David, but the most painful sufferings, the most painful curses, persecution, came to David through his wife. Ammonites cannot stand against David. Amalekites cannot stand against David. Philistines cannot stand against David. Goliath cannot stand against David. Even his sons cannot stand against David. Even without him being the father laying his hand against his son, they were killed. When the Lord bring forth the shame, everything recompense back to their own head. Why even the unfaithful servant was doing a service to David? Even against the will of David, but the Lord, who is righteous, was righteous throughout the life of David. Amen? So now you see, the curse from Prophet Nathan came to David through who? Through Bathsheba. The son of wisdom came to David through who? Through Bathsheba. For David to be called from the stem of Jesse, because son honored father, Jesse did nothing. The only thing Jesse did was to give birth to the son David. Amen? But the name of Jesse you would see in New Testament. You would see in Old Testament. Why? David honored the father Jesse, even in the earthly generation, by being the son of God. He's a stem of Jesse. There is a branch from Jesse, the root and offspring of David. So the father was honored by the son. David honored the father in heaven. David honored the father in the earth. But these three sons failed to do so. Solomon did it, but he also dropped it over the time. When he became so mighty, he dropped it. Now you see, the Lord says, last Sunday, highest cedars will be brought down. I want all of us to think that we are all standing on this first floor in this building. If the Lord raises a second floor, third floor, fourth floor, we go to the highest floor. Then, as much as we are focused because we are surrounded by wall, we can only see the board and the scripture as we read. If we are placed on a rooftop where we can see the entire nation, and we can see all the restrooms, bathrooms, swimming pools, beach, where women can run naked, sleep, walk naked, bathe naked. The more higher you go, the far your vision gets become, right? If David remained as a simple shepherd, a simple servant, he would have never reached the highest cedar, the place from the balcony he can see the lust of Bathsheba. He can see the beautiful flesh of Bathsheba. He fell because he went higher and higher. But the physical building was not the highest cedar. For a moment, David felt, I'm a king. I'm the king of Israel. Come on. Who is there against me? Because the Lord gave me a covenant. The Lord asked me to build a tabernacle for him. I'm a king. The same word of God which blessed David is also confirmed at David, my brethren. All the Pharisees and Sadducees, they do not believe in some other God's word. They believe in the God's word that we believe in. But they believe in a way that they become so stiff that they want to stand on the balcony to keep on seeing who is making mistakes. Cedar will be brought down, whoever it is. Whoever it is. But Joseph, who was thrown into the pit, he was placed on the highest cedar. But he remained humble throughout his life. He told, God will visit you, surely. You may think it's a blessing, but as I say, in two different tones, God will visit you, surely. God bless you. God will visit you, surely. Be careful. Same words. So if I say visit you in a higher tone, you are scared. If I say with a kind tone, you are blessed. Same words. If I say, the scepter shall never depart the house, oh thank you Lord. The sword will never depart, oh Lord, no, don't, don't. So the tone of the voice makes our mind to be polluted. God is not in the storm. He is not in the earthquake. He is here. The deep calleth from the deep. We discern the work of God by the word spoken, not by the tone at which it was spoken. People are so afraid of charismatism. If you cry, don't cry like someone. It's charismatism, Pentecostalism, what, I don't know. There are so many names to it. Are you sure? If you see Jesus was crying in Garden of Gethsemane, would you tell him, Jesus, be calm. Stay quiet. Why the blood is coming out of his skin? Why are you screaming? Why are you crying? Just calm. Don't be a charismatic man. Pray quiet. My brethren, when children of God cries unto the Father, even if they don't make sense to you, it makes sense to their heart. They may scream, hallelujah. The Lord says, I heard your prayer. What? I haven't even started praying. I heard it is well. We may speak for 4 to 5 hours in a well-structured way, as if we read something we wrote. The Lord would say, Martha, Martha, what are you doing? Lord, I am busy speaking to you. I am speaking to you. Knowing him in intimate manner is the way we can earn the title of the wife of the Lamb. Amen? Bride of the groom is a promise that we will be the wife of the Lamb. It's not stopping there. I can't boast, I'm the bride, I'm not the wife yet. You are not the wife yet. The marriage of the Lamb, it is done for the Lord. He has seen through. But for you and me, I am bound to grace. You and me, we are bound to grace. We move with him. Until it is done, it is not done. Jesus himself said, it is done on the cross. Until it is done, it is not done. Amen? So can we say, I'm a beautiful bride with beautiful clothing. Tamar had colorful clothing. Amnon took her, forced himself upon her. She had to put on sackcloth. Remember? Absalom took Tamar, come to my house. Tamar had to remove all the colorful clothing and put on sackcloth. What clothing you and me wear? The Lord would send beast to take us away. And that beast will have intercourse with us in spirit. We will have a beautiful affair with pride. And we will bring forth the child of ego. We will have beautiful affair with weariness. I will bring forth the child of weariness. Unfaithful. Inferiority complex. Whatever you call it. Both are not the fruit of the Son of God. Now, let's read chapter 16, book of Ezekiel 44. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 44. Here, the whole chapter we will read by God's grace as the Lord leads. But I want to focus on from verse 44. But I just want to refresh a bit on this chapter. Jerusalem is cast out as a vine by the Lord. Now, in the entire chapter, the Lord is speaking against Jerusalem. He says, I created you, I made you, I formed you, I redeemed you, I made you look like a beautiful woman, and now you embrace whoredom, you embrace harlotry. You want to go and lie with other kings, other gods, other men, other thoughts, other desires, other ambitions. So there is a rebuke going on in this chapter concerning her, woman. But verse 44 is for all of us. Take the word female from your mind, my brethren. We are not talking about the female of the flesh. Woman in spirit. Verse 44. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverbs against thee. Saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. A mother's daughter. A father's son. A father's daughter. A mother's daughter. A husband's wife. A king's concubine. A mother's daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter, that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand. And thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Always the word Gomorrah is hidden behind Sodom, as if they are together. Rabshakeh always represents all of those who are behind him, because his name is the chief, the captain of the army of King Assyria, Sennacherib. So when he says the word Rabshakeh, he means I'm the chief prince of the army. All the armies are represented by Rabshakeh. It's not a name, it's a title. The name Rabshakeh was not a name of a person. It's a name of the army general, the one who front the army. In the same way, the Lord is giving names. Verse 47. Yet thou hast not walked after thy ways, nor done after their abomination, but as if that were a very little thing. Thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. I read the verse again. You will see a blessing is going to come to you, then the Lord reverses it. You see, yet hast thou not walked after their ways. Yes, yes, Lord, I know. I am better than them. Nor done after their abomination. Of course, Lord, I'm a son of light. I'm very good, you know. I'm righteous. But as if that they were a very little thing, whatever they did was nothing compared to what you did. Thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways, because they never knew the Lord. You knew the Lord. You slept with the Lord in his word. You had relationship, personal, intimate relationship to know your husband, to know your man. But yet, you decided that you want something else. Adulterous wife is the title of today's sermon. Adulterous wife. It sounds so negative. Come on, brother, every single Sunday you speak all this evil stuff, negative stuff. Throw stones at me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But we are not reading anything. We are reading the truth. Which is absolutely critical for the time that we live in. Absolutely critical. We are the bride preparing for the groom to come and take us home. He is coming soon. Look what's happening around us. He is coming soon. What we should do? To become busy in revising what we learned. To go and get ourselves clothed in all those things that we learn and keep ourselves become knowledgeable and wise. Or smite our heart with a double-edged sword. Check our skin. Check our clothing. Are we ready for the groom and come and take us home? Are we ready? I give you an inspiration. Meditate on this. Righteous man Uriah was deceived by King David when he took his wife Bathsheba and he committed adultery with his wife. A righteous man received unrighteousness from the king who was supposed to be righteous but became wicked, and Bathsheba was taken. Now let's go to Garden of Eden. Let's travel from Jerusalem to Garden of Eden. Righteous man Adam was deceived by the serpent who took his wife Eve and committed adultery, and they bring forth Cain. God Almighty used His servant David just to remind us what serpent did in the Garden of Eden. Don't you see? But Cain was not killed. But the child of Bathsheba and David was killed. What was the biggest punishment that you think Adam had to go through? At least for David, that child lived only for 7 days. At least for David, that child was killed by God Himself. But for Adam, his child grew. Beautiful, young, strong man, Abel, who is all about giving sacrifice to the Lord, who gave everything to God, was called righteous Abel. Jesus said, the blood of righteous Abel called me from the ground. He earned such a name from God. Then, the another flesh, the fruit of Eve and the serpent, that child also grew. Cain, they became strong in their own ways. But Cain spoke to Abel, dragged into a field, jumped and killed over him. Now, I want you all to think, you are Adam. You are Adam. You are Adam. You are Adam. The man who killed your son lives right in front of your eyes. Do you hear me? All the days of your life, no one can lay against on Cain. God told, the mark of Cain, we know. Cain cannot be killed. He should be let die himself. Because he earned that right to mix the serpentine seed into the seed of God. Amen? It was done. There was a fall in the Garden of Eden. That fall must come to manifest. Amen? Now, Adam, let's say you are Adam. You can see the wife who had such a painful, shameful thing happen to her because of serpent. And that fruit still lives happily, strong, forever. When I say forever, until Adam lives, 930 years Adam lived. He gave birth to Seth. And Eve said, the Lord replaced my son. He heard my cry. Now, Adam and Seth, they both are living. Father and son, they are alive. When Cain is also alive. Did they chase him to kill him? What Simeon and Levi did? Did they chase him to kill him? What David did? Why David did certain things that make tell us, David, you should have done the justice on Joab. You should have done justice on Ammon. We may think so many things. It is not what we see. It is not what we see. It's all about what the Lord wanted to manifest in the life of David. Amen? So, a woman, husband, and a woman, the righteous husband, when I see this, Lord, you allowed your king, whom you call prince forever, David, to do something like serpent, to took the wife of the righteous man Uriah and get himself killed through Joab. Now you see, Cain killed Abel, Joab killed Uriah, but there's a difference. Servant killed the son of the king, son killed the son. But that son Cain was not the son of Adam. Son of the serpent. Amen? Sons sharing their mother, sons sharing their father. Do you hear me? Do not limit your mind with the flesh. Link everything back to the Spirit of the Lord, who is the origin of life. We think the division from the life and the Lord, how the Lord gathers like back together. So David is center, at the center of everything. Now we read chapter 16 from verse 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither had Samaria committed half of their sins. But thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sister in all thine abomination which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sister, bear thine own shame for thy sins, that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. What? He just uttered the words. They are more righteous than thou. Lord, you burned Sodom and Gomorrah down. Yes, 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 wait, wait. They are more righteous than thou. Ye be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, in that thou hast justified thy sisters. In that thou, you justified thy sisters. When I look at what you did, I feel bad for them, what I did to them. When I shall bring again the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them for them to see. When Absalom went into the concubines of David, it was in the midst of them for them to see what is happening to the house of Judah, the house of Israel. The Lord allowed this to happen only when David became the king of Israel, not when he was just the king of Judah. Lord waited until he brought the kingdom together. Verse 54, that thou mayest bear thine own shame, and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, in that thou art a comfort unto them, in a way that we are not supposed to be. Now, I want to move from here to Book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 14. Book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 14. What do you mean by adulterous wife, and what do you mean by mother's daughter? I type, write it here. Hope you can see. Adulterous wife and mother's daughter. Adulterous wife and mother's daughter. It's a very strong statement. Our mind will suddenly go, oh, this wife, she had so many men, she had so many husbands in her life, this and that. Adulterous wife and mother's daughter. Now you read. Mark chapter 6, verse 14. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do shew forth themselves in him. Others said, that is Elias. And others said, that is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I beheaded, is risen from the dead. Why he said that? Because something happened in his life. What happened? For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake. For whom? For Herodias' sake. Who is this woman? She is the wife of his brother. Do you hear me? She is the wife of his brother. So this king married the wife of his brother. And this woman, she wants to have the power. She wants to be the wife of the king. And she became what she wanted. But it does not stop there. Although the king was fearing, he feared John the Baptist. He feared all the miracles. He knew that God was with him. He was at least preserving his life from laying his hand upon John the Baptist. At least by himself. But look at what this wife did to his life. And for Herod, when he sent forth people to lay hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. This is very interesting. So far, I introduced Michal as Saul's daughter, David's wife. Saul's daughter, David's wife. Oh, this woman, Rizba, concubine of Saul. Abner went into her. So there was an identification of them, whom they are linked to. Correct? But here, this Herodias' wife is still linked to Philip's wife. Do you see? For he had married her. Okay. But what John did? John was not killed for going and baptizing people, this and that. He was killed because he spoke the truth to the king Herod. And he told him, what he said, for John had said unto the Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. John the Baptist just spoke the word. He was not killed for things that he was doing in the wife in the wilderness. But he was killed for speaking against the wife of the king. And the wife was filled with wrath. Are you speaking against me? Do you know who I am? I'm the wife of King Herod. But what she did, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. See, the wife could not kill John the Baptist because he's a prophet of God. She could not kill him. She had no authority. So she will have to deceive her husband, the king. And how she deceived the king, my brethren? What was the tool that she deceived? Answer me. The daughter. The mother's daughter was a tool of instrument to deceive the king. The daughter went, danced before the king, and the king's heart was melted. Oh, my daughter so danced so beautifully. And when the heart was tender, deceived, blinded, then the wife and then told him, I want the head of John the Baptist. What a beautiful, powerful time of darkness. Before the Lord was crucified for the bride, for you and me, John the Baptist was beheaded because he told the king, you should not have the wife of your brother. And the king was scared. You know, Herod was scared of John the Baptist. He had no courage to lay his hand upon him. King Ahab, he had no courage to lay his hand upon the prophet Elijah. It was Jezebel who deceived the king. It was the wife of Herod who deceived the king. But there was one righteous wife who saved the life of a righteous man. Who is that? Matthew chapter 27. Turn your Bibles. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 19. Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. Look at the words. This is so powerful, so beautiful. Look at the timing, the perfect timing of God Almighty. Then he was set down on the judgment seat. Not before. I repeat, not before. Verse 19. Read it. Receive it. Then the man who had the power and the authority to crucify the Prince of Life, the Alpha and Omega, the Savior, the true light, he knows something is wrong. He is going to escape his life by God's grace, because the Lord had to put a righteous man in the place that he can have dominion over the righteous judge, he himself. Amen? The Lord can never let anyone to be in a seat that he can question the King of Jews. There must be a righteous man. No one can stand against and speak the word against the word of God. It must be the power of the word. Do you understand? No one can go and stand against the Lord in between God and the people. It must be Moses, the servant of God. It must be Abraham, the servant of God. Because the righteousness of God was in them. So they can go and stand. Pontius Pilate was standing in front of Jesus. He never raised his stone. He always speaking in truth. He was very careful in words. And Lord was even more careful because he is the word of God. He maintained silence. Whenever he said, are you the king of Jesus? Ye are the one who say. You said that. Why? Because he said that I am the king of Jews. That Calvary is over. Cannot happen. If Jesus told in front of Pontius Pilate, that's a very tough question. I'm going to answer you. Yes, I am the king of Jews. That's it. All the band of men who came with Judas, they fell to the ground until Jesus said, stand up. Come and arrest me. Because he just said, I am he. If he says, I am the king of Jews in truth, everyone will bow. He told Pontius Pilate, you only said that. I didn't say that. If I said that, this shall not come to pass. And for certain questions, he answered not. He stood still. Now, this man did not just protect himself by himself. Because he was a married man, the flesh also must earn the righteousness to him. Amen? Look at the verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him. I repeat, when he was set down on the judgment seat, not before, not when he was sitting, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife was sent to him. What she said? Have thou nothing to do with the just man, for I have suffered many things this day in the dream because of him. How can she suffer with many things in her dream because of him? As our Lord and Savior standing in front of the righteous man, who is so called a judge on that place, a governor, the righteous judge is standing. At the same time, the flesh of this righteous man, Pontius Pilate, is also being saved by the Lord sending dreams. But the Spirit is warning her, go and be united with your husband in flesh and in spirit, not just in flesh. She went and spoke to him. She didn't take the authority to speak to the council. She spoke to the husband. She whispered unto him, my dear, my husband. What she said? He is a just man. Don't do anything. I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. She hid behind the husband, the beauty of the wife. What happened to Pontius Pilate? But the chief priests and the elders persuaded and the multitudes that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. What? My brethren, the power of anointing destroy the yoke. Chief elders, chief priests cannot destroy Jesus. Are you kidding? Destroy Jesus. When I saw that verse, destroy Jesus. Oh yes, it is happening now. Those people who make money, who take advantage of people's emotions, suffering, by running a huge corporate business in the name of church, you destroy the so-called name of Jesus. But that is not the name of Jesus. No one can destroy the name of Jesus. It lives in your foreheads. Amen? But this man, he was saved. Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, he killed her husband. He pushed him down. What happened to her? She also fell and her body scattered and dog ate the flesh of Jezebel. As if there was no trace that she fell. There was only blood on the wall. Remember, such a shameful death. Why? Why? The Lord whom we serve is not about what we want to serve Him. It's all about, do you allow me to bless you, to serve me in my will, in my pleasure. Amen? Now let's read one verse at a close. Chapter 16, as we continue, and we finish until 63. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 30. We read the other half. Now we come back to how it started. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou dost all these things, the work of an imperious, warish woman, in that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been seen as an harlot, in that thou scornest hire. But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. Let's stop there. How can I take strangers instead of my husband? Yes, I can do. You see, if I tell Lord, I am your bride, I am a tabernacle, the Holy Ghost dwells in me. Lord, bless me, you revealed me so much. Lord, help me to live a life humbly, to serve thee according to your will and pleasure. Not to serve men, but to serve children of God. Anyone who serves men is not the servant of God. The Lord called all of us to be the servants of God. By serving Him in His children, by serving Him through His children, by serving Him for His children. Amen? Now, if I go one step back, and those things the Lord hates, lying lips, proud look, sowing discord, hand that shed blood, feet that rush for violence, all those things, seven things the Lord hates. If I go and take one by one stranger, oh, pride, so beautiful. Can I marry you? Can we become a couple? Okay, let's go and have our intimate relationship in some tent. Me and my dear, beloved stranger, bride. I bring forth ego. The Lord says, wife, adulterous wife. Okay, I go and take sowing discord. Oh, this sowing discord is a beautiful Bathsheba. Let me go and take it from the hands of the evil, that is the husband of this evil thing. Let me take it. I will have commune. I will have a relationship. Oh, what does it provide? Oh, divination. The Lord says, adulterous wife. Every single thing that we commit with those things that the Lord hates, that makes us to be the adulterous bride, adulterous woman, adulterous daughter. You are the daughter of thy mother. Not the father, thy mother. We all share one father in heaven. Amen? One. We all share one bride. One faith. One spirit. One truth. There is nothing else. That is why Tamar cannot have colorful clothes. We are called to put on sackcloth. Only one color. Same color. Always. The garment of praise. The garment of the spirit. The garment of the word. No color. No flavor. Unleavened. Unaltered. Not adulterous. Virgin, blemish. We read verse 33. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest gifts, thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And that contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms. And in that thou givest a reward. There is only one reward we should receive, the great, exceedingly great reward. He is our exceedingly great reward. There is no other reward. If you tell me, oh brother, I love you. Oh, this brother loves me. Oh brother, you helped me a lot. I like you so much. I really want to give you whatever the best of her. Oh, I love this sister. He loves me. Now, at this moment, if I just rejoice, enjoy in these praises, I completely forget the point, the focus, that it is the name of the Lord must be glorified. Not you, not me, not anyone. The Spirit of the Lord must be glorified. Only then I can say, I am the bride who will become the wife of the Lamb. Amen? It's a promise, the hope of the eternal glory. Not to escape hell. That is not our desire. By becoming the wife of Christ, wife of Lamb, we escape from all. Most importantly, we escape from Him. We are all living a life not to escape from the world who can destroy your soul and body, but the one who can destroy everything that we think. He is the Word of God. And He is the only one who can execute the wrath of God, who can make it complete. Now, the last one. Therefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms, with all thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them. Now you see, the word children comes. Now you see, the word children comes. May the Lord lead us, as we will continue to receive the blessed assurance from the Lord that it is well with our soul, it is well with our life, it is well with all of that we go through. But we must remain that wife of that husband, that bride of that groom. We must remain. And how can we do so? By remaining in Jerusalem. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all stand as I close. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for decorating us with jewels, clothing, the crown, the beautiful promises, the revelation of the truth, the clothing of the Holy Spirit, and the covenant that you set on the clouds between earth and the heaven when you told Noah that rainbow of beautiful colors, the way you send seasons in our life, beautiful colors, the way you send teachings and lessons and valleys and mountains and storms and beautiful breeze, beautiful colors. But Lord, may you teach us to be always inside the tabernacle, in your presence, put on sackcloth in prayers, in praise and worship, to remain as your children, to remain as your servants, to remain as your beautiful bride, waiting for thy coming. Help us, Lord, to run away from the wife of Potiphar, to run away from the wives of King Ahab, to run away from the wives of all those evil things that the Lord hates, all those wickedness, principalities of the world, to run like Joseph, to flee like Joseph, and to stand firm like David. Lord, bless us, Lord, to be preserved as your bride, clothed in such a beautiful garment of praise. Blessed be your holy name. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen and amen. Shalom, my brethren. God bless you.